Revelation 14. Looked last week at God's rest area. I want to look at that one more thought tonight, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I'm looking at that word rest. Rest from their labors. There's a day of rest ahead. But I mentioned last week we need some rest areas or some spots to get rest or some ways to get rest along the way until we get to the home of rest. And I'm liking that to a rest area going down the road. Sometimes those things are a lifesaver. Not just convenient, not just good, not just nice, but necessary. And I believe that's true of us spiritually. We need rest along the way. We need a place or a person or an experience. And I said last week, it may be at the church, it may be at home, it may be in your bed at night while you're still laying there meditating. It could be anywhere. It may be beside your bed on your knees in your prayer closet. But that time when God gives you some rest, and I mentioned last week that a rest area allows us to rest ourselves. But I thought about this. The kind of rest areas they have today is more than just the thing that the government puts up beside the road. But you have those kind of gas stations, truck stops that have just about anything you can think about, they are there. So you can not only get rest in a rest area, and you can be rested, but you can refuel at a rest stop. And a rest area allows us to refuel ourselves. I thought about this as I was reading this verse. Notice, and I heard a voice, somebody speaking. Then he says, right, blessed. So there's another form of communication. There's a voice being heard, and there's some writing going on. Then notice, yea, saith the Spirit. So we have him listening or hearing a voice. We have someone writing some information, and we have the Spirit speaking. And I thought that's exactly what God does. He speaks to us. When you're driving down the road and you see that needle pointing toward E, you're still going, but you better not keep on going. If you don't stop to refuel, you'll be stopped beside the road. And that's how it is spiritually. That's how it is physically. That's how it is emotionally. We need to refuel. And I don't know of any better refueling station than the Word of God or God speaking to us through the Spirit. This Bible we have is the most powerful force on earth. It is amazing. I thought about this. The third verse in the Bible says, God said. The first interaction that God had with man in Genesis 1:28, and God blessed him and God said unto them. I'm glad we have a God who speaks to us. I'm glad we have a God who has written us a book to tell us what we need to know until we get home. I'm glad we've got a book that we can trust. It is certain. It is dependable, it is powerful, and let my first point be this, His Word is right. I'll tell you what, you listen, and I don't mean this to be derogatory to anybody, but if you listen to the medical field, one doctor says this, another says that. If you listen to mechanics, one will say this is wrong, the other says that. If you listen to a lawyer, and I hope you're not having to, but if you do, one will say this and the other says that. If you listen to scientists, one says this, the other says that. And I ask the question, well, how in the world do I know who's right? But I don't ever have to wonder what's right and what's wrong in this Bible because it's always right. His word is right always and never wrong. It's a scientific book that's right. It's a historical book that's right. It's a social book that's right. It is a book that's right no matter what subject you're covering. I believe it, but it's right whether I believe it or not. It is a book that's dependable. And the reason it's right is because it's His book. It's His word. And He's always right. He not only does not lie, and I know it's right because He doesn't lie, but He is one who can't be wrong. That means He's always right. He is a God that tells us what we need to know, and what we find in this book is dependable. We can trust it no matter what. It is not out of date. It does not need to be updated. I'm electronically minded enough where I love updates. Somehow I think that just means something's going to get better when my phone updates or the computer updates. Sometimes it goes backwards. Instead of getting better, it gets worse. But I just think something good's going to happen when you get an update. Most of the time you don't even know what happened because there isn't much difference. This Bible does not need to be updated. It is up to date. It does not need to be revised or changed or taken away from or added to. Why? Because it's right. There is no room for compromise. It says the same thing to all people. And God may be blunt in what He says in this book, but He means what He says, as my brother Milton Taylor says. He means what He says when He says what He does. I'm glad I've got a book I can trust because it's right. It is a good book. I cannot pick the parts I like and discard the parts I don't. I said again to someone else the other day, I've said it very often, if I could take any part of this book out, and it be so, I'd take out the part about hell. But it taking it out of the book doesn't take it out of the truth. It is a book that is right, and therefore we ought to obey it. With all of our heart, we ought to obey it. And half-hearted obedience is disobedience, so we need to obey it completely. I say this evening, we need to be refueled. When you get low on fuel, which means you have expended what you have. You have, as Connor says, wasted what you have, and you need to be refueled. I do that, you do that, I hope. Through the Word of God and through the preaching and teaching of His Word and the reading of His Word. His Word is right, but I say number two, His Word is remarkable. Notice what it says. And I heard a voice from heaven. A voice from heaven. Oh, we say, I'll say it. I would have loved to have heard that word, that voice from heaven as God Himself spoke. But I don't need a word from heaven, a voice from heaven. I've got a word from heaven right here in this pulpit. This Bible is a word from heaven. It is remarkable. Now you can look at it on one way and it's a book with white pages and black letters, and that's all that it is. It is a book. Oh, but if you look at it the other way, you see it as something that's remarkable, something that's amazing, something that's alive, something that's powerful, something that can change lives. There's something different about it. Well, there's a lot of good books in this world. There's a lot of good books in this world, but there's no book like this book. It is amazing. It is remarkable. It has one author, but 40 people penned it down. Over a period of 1,800 years, that boggles my mind how all those people over all that time can write down, and it all just fits right together and tells us what God says. He said, I heard a voice. Oh, how remarkable that is. I say, I heard a voice this afternoon reading the Bible, and it's true. Psalm 119, 162 says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I think about those people that were victorious in overcoming their enemy. And one of their benefits of winning the battle was to go in to plunder. They could go into homes and businesses and go in and take anything they wanted because it officially became theirs. And I can't imagine them going through those homes and finding real riches and jewels and diamonds and money and thinking, oh my, what a spoil. And I tell you what, the best spoil on earth is this book. He says, I find great spoil in the book. I find nuggets in this book. I find jewels in this book. I find gold and silver and precious jewels in this book. And it's, again, just a book, but it's a remarkable book. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. God said, when I say something, it's going to happen. It is a remarkable book. Tell me one other book that makes predictions that you can count on. Or you can go to the horoscope and they'll say, you may have a good day tomorrow, or some kind of general mess that, good gracious, anybody in the world, sooner or later it's going to have to happen. But that's not how this book is. It's a remarkable book. It's a book that can't be destroyed. Oh, they've tried to. They've rejected it. They've resisted it. They've revised it, or at least tried to, and it still lives on. Jesus said it like this: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is forever settled, every jot and every tittle. Every dotting of the I, every crossing of the T is precise and right. It is remarkable that we have a book without flaw. I got interested this afternoon. I got here a little early, and I was looking up about translations and revisions and all this stuff. And one of the headlines that Mr. Google led me to was 25 myths about Bible translations. So I thought, well, I'll just look at that. And I thought, dumb, 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 dumb. We have a book that's remarkable. I'm talking this evening about a rest area where we can get some rest and get refueled, where God can fill us up again. You ever heard a message that really helped you? It's like Brother Tony Finney said, if somebody gets behind you and tailgates you on the way home and your doves fly out the window, and all that word that helped you and all that message that helped you seem like it just goes away. Well, you need to be refueled. We run low, we leak out. His word refuels us. His word is right and remarkable. I believe his word is revealing. Notice what it says. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Well, now I want to tell you something. Only way I know that is true is because that Bible tells me. Because I looked at another coffin today with a lady laying there, gone. And all I can tell from my point of view is the lady was alive and now she's dead. And if I didn't have that Bible to tell me that there's more beyond the grave than the grave, I'd think it's over. I'm telling you, it's a word that reveals. It reveals the truth. Reveals the truth about God. The only way I know anything about God, other than what I can pick out about creation, and the only way I know he created it is because the Bible says the only way I know anything about God is because this book tells me, and I'm glad that it does. It tells us, it reveals to us the God who loves us. God reveals himself through his word. God reveals us through his word. God reveals his will to us through his word. God reveals, he opens, he shows me. He shows me anything he wants me to know we can find in this book. That's why I tell you, get in the book, get in the book, get in the book, because it'll help you. It shows us the way. Thy word is a light into my path. It's the way it reveals as we're walking down the path. It's like a lantern that shows us the next few steps. It reveals God's will. It reveals what he wants. His word is right. His word is remarkable. His word is revealing. His word is refreshing. Notice what it says. saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. They may rest from their labors. Well, now that may not mean much to you, other than, boy, I get to go to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing. When you're weary and you're about to run out of gas and you're tired and worn out and you got a little, seems like a long way to go, a rest area here is a blessing. And this book can be refreshing. And it says to the weary person, you've got some rest ahead. It's going to be all right. It's a book that refreshes us. It picks us up. It gives us help. That's why the Bible says about itself, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It profits us. It's beneficial. It helps. Helps what? What do you need help about? It's in the Bible. It's a wonderful, revealing book. Remarkable book. It's a wonderful book. It's a refreshing book. It helps us. Jeremiah says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You know what he's saying? I listened to what God said. I read what he said and it helped me, it helped me, it helped me. It caused me to rejoice. It restored my joy. You know what he's saying? I found me a fuel stop. I found me a rest stop and got refueled. It helps me. It may help me to want to. Because sometimes we get to where we don't want to. Don't want to read, don't want to pray, don't want to study, don't want to witness, don't want to do right, don't want to come to church, don't want to get up. Don't want to, don't want to, don't want to. It may refresh us to where we finally get to where we want to again. We get in this book and it gets in us. It'll help us to desire, give that desire again, rekindle that hunger. Makes us want to do right. Makes us want to do better. Makes us want to please God. It's refreshing. It stirs us. His word is reassuring. Notice, and their works do follow them. That tells me that the things we're doing now are not in vain. Our works, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But our works follow us. In other words, he's saying, you sacrifice now, you serve God now, you do what he says now, and you'll be glad one day you did. How you know that? Because the Bible tells you that. It's reassuring. It says you can trust God. You can serve him, and one day you'll be glad. Keep on going. That's what the word says. It's reassuring. It reminds us that he tells the truth. It reminds us who he is. It assures us when we face trouble, he can handle it. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells me. The Bible told me I can trust him. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickeneth me. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickeneth me. The word kept me going when I was about to quit. I got refueled from the word of God. I was running low, about to run out, about to quit, and wanted to. But the word of God did something in me and reassured me and gave me confidence that the Lord would not allow me to fail. He tells me in his book that he's able, and I believe him. He can handle it somehow. Somehow he can handle it. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Oh, I'm glad we've got a book we can trust. His word also is received. It says, a voice, write, and the Spirit saith. Well, now, what are they talking about, and what are they writing about, and what are they speaking about if it's not for someone to listen? One thing for sure, God doesn't talk just to hear himself speak. I know some people that do. At least it seems like they do. Because it don't matter how you react or whatever, they just keep on talking. And you can tell them, I got to go. It don't matter to them. They don't have to go. And they just keep, none of y'all, really, none of y'all. Boy, I'm glad none of y'all where I can say that. One of my preacher friends called the other day, and I thought, I like him. I really do. And I thought, why don't you push and let me hang up? And about 45 minutes later, he did. And I like him. I do. But I want to tell you one thing. When God speaks to me, he helps me. Sometimes, really, not y'all. Really, not y'all. Like that preacher the other day, what he was saying, I got to where I didn't even want to hear it. I wasn't receiving what he said. I wasn't getting it. I wasn't hearing it. He's wasting my time and his. But I want to tell you one thing. When God speaks to me and I listen, I never say, I got to hurry. Well, I'll tell you what, we receive. It's like seed in our heart. It brings forth life. It changes us. Sometimes it just jumps off the page at you, and it's so real. But we must, if we're going to receive it, we must listen to it. We must read it. We must hear it. We must receive it. We must open our eyes. We're to be hearers of the word, but not hearers, only doers also. We need to receive his word. I say also his word is required. I thought about a place in this verse where that would apply, and I thought the whole verse does. It's required. I need it. I can't do without it. I can honestly say I don't think I've tried very much to do without the word because I love to study so much. But I am prone, like I guess most preachers, to study for messages or study to give out instead of to read and study for myself. And I need to do that. But his word is required. In other words, I need it. I'll tell you one thing, you need gas. Please don't do this. Don't call me if you do it, because I'm telling you right now to not do it, but try it if you want to. Call up Garrett's Towing if you do it. Try not putting gas in your car. Try not stopping when the E is close. And I hope you know better. Because you know and I know you need gas. You know what that means? It's required. We are needing the Word of God. It is something that's required. How'd you get saved? You may go into all the details about this church and this preacher and this song and this day and all that, but I guarantee you somewhere you will have to say, if you say the truth is, I heard the word. Somebody told me what the Bible said. The Bible is required for salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our salvation comes because somebody told us, or we read it ourselves, what the Bible says about I'm a sinner, Jesus died for me and rose again, and he'll forgive me if I call on him. That's the Bible. It's required. Without the word, you'll never get saved. Without the truth of what the Bible says, you cannot get saved. But by the way, not only our salvation, but our service and our daily routine, we need the word of God. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That's how we're born again, and that's how we have the best life in this world. It says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only way I can have success and make my way prosperous and have joy is to get in this book and let the book get in me. And he said, do it all day, every day, day and night. His book, his word. I have tried to mention that it's right and remarkable and revealing and refreshing and reassuring and received and required, but I want to say this and I'm done. His word is remembered. Now, times down here, you remember it. What that verse said, what that preacher said from the Bible, what that truth of the Bible said when you need it just in time. I remember our dean at school. Oh, remarkable man. I told you back then years ago. I mean, listen, I graduated in 81. And he said, I have no idea how many times I've read the Bible through. He said, I know at least 300. And that man knew the Bible. And he always, when somebody would ask him a question in class, here's what he'd do. He'd just stand there a second like he was thinking. And then he'd say, oh, the Bible says, and he would answer the questions by what the Bible said all the time. You know what he was doing? Remembering the word that was in his heart. And that's what the Lord will do. But I want to emphasize here, one day we'll remember it when we stand before him. I believe with all my heart there will be a copy of some sort of the Word of God when we stand before the Lord. Because this has been our message, this has been our book, this has been our guide. It's everything we know about God, and how we've lived will be determined by how we lived about the Bible and what it's told us to do. And I think when we stand before him, we will answer according to it. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is the book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look at the precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from the Father above who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide, and as a friend by my side, it will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find, Susan, gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. I say, amen. You need a rest area where you can get refreshed. Take in fuel. And our fuel is this book. Let's stand together.